I'd like to call this regular council meeting to order. Would you all please rise for the invocation?
We meet to serve our community and endeavor to be worthy custodians of all that has been entrusted to us. Let us be concerned only for what will promote good government. May we bring to our council chamber minds that think and hearts that feel, so that in our deliberations we may display imagination, wisdom, and courage, and the will to do our work for the good of all.
Amen.
Thank you. Madam Clerk, the roll call, please.
Your Worship, all members of council are present.
Thank you. There is an addendum this evening. The presentation and delegation by the YMCA board is being removed from the agenda. They will be making a presentation probably 2 weeks hence. Councillor Annunziata will not be in attendance this evening. He has another engagement and notified us this afternoon. And finally, there's an additional paragraph in bylaw number 45 that we'll be dealing with later on in the agenda. And the additional paragraph is that Matthew Hasty is appointed a municipal law enforcement officer and provincial offenses officer while in the discharge of his duties. And he is primarily being appointed as a building inspector. There are a number of brief announcements that I wanted to make. And if I'm going to be able to find... I did want to mention that the town of Fort Erie participated in the Habitat for Humanity build last Thursday, I believe it was. We were going to be doing outdoor decks, but because of the nature of the weather, we ended up doing the framing of the basement. And I'm pleased to say that there was only one injury, and all of the town of Fort Erie personnel survived. None had to be taken to the hospital, and I think they're going to ask us to come back the next time. But they want us to take an extra safety course. That project is really moving along, and that house is to be completed in July. And one of the owners was there working all day. She's been there almost every day. And you can just see the pride on her face when the work is going on. Participate. So I want to thank all of the people from the town of Fort Erie that participated at the Habitat for Humanity build. Earth Day was Saturday. There were a number of municipal cleanups, and a number of organizations that participated. Niagara Christian Collegiate, the Mayor's Youth Advisory Committee, the Fort Erie Active Transit, the minor hockey team that goes to and hosts Denmark in alternate years, the Rotary Club and the Stevensville Mini Park Community Group were all out at various parks throughout the community helping to clean up, and we're hoping that that will become an even larger contingent as the years go by, and we'll be actively requesting that other individuals, if they're interested, get involved in the future. On a Saturday evening, the Fort Erie Fire and Emergency Services held its 27th annual Years of Service Recognition Awards, and I think it's appropriate that I at least mention the individuals whose service was recognized that evening. Before I get there, though, I wanted to recognize our acting fire chief, Keith German, who was scheduled originally to retire at the end of March. This is now almost the end of April. I understand that you're going to be here till the end of May. I understand that the CAO, Tom Cook, had to pay your wife an extra 6 months' salary to get you to stay. And even then, she wasn't all that happy. But on behalf of the council and the administration, we want to thank you for staying on to assist us when we needed your services. And for the next month, you'll be assisting to break in our new fire chief, who I also want to recognize. Ed Melanson is here beside you, and he started work officially today. I tried to find him in his office. He wasn't there. I don't hope that isn't a sign of things to come, although maybe that's actually better. You'll be out and about the community, and I see that you've got some of your firefighters here with you. So, Ed, we certainly look very much forward to working with you, and we congratulate you on your new appointment as a Town of Fort Erie Fire Chief. So with respect to the firefighters who were recognized on Saturday evening, Those with 5 years service, and I'm going to read their names because I think it's appropriate. They are tremendous volunteers in our community, and the service that they provide to all of the residents of this town is remarkable. And they do it no matter what the weather conditions, often putting themselves in jeopardy because of the nature of the fires and the calls that they attend. It's difficult with respect to the families that they have, and of course the families have to support their involvement in our volunteer fire service, as do many of their employers, because as you know, emergency calls happen at all hours of the day, and many of these individuals have to leave work during the course of a call. So for 5 years service, Dora Wren, Trevor Lane, Daryl Garner, Lawrence Van Huysen, Nathan Haskin, James Potter, and Christopher Tuss. 10 years, Joseph Greville, Ed Smith, Dean Smalden, Mike Grummet, and Jason Whistle. 15 years, Mike Atkins, Ron Mistry, and Mark Fizikas. 20 years, Richard Lowell and Don Marr. 25 years, Roman Spurko. 30 years, Jeff Putman. 33 years, our Station 4 District Chief, just recently retired, Glenn Teal, and the recently retired Senior Fire Prevention Inspector, Kevin Winnie, and for 35 years as a volunteer to the Fort Erie Fire Service, Randy Reichelt was recognized. So congratulations and thank you to each and every one of those individuals for their service to our community. The Friday, there is a book launch at the Crystal Ridge Library at 2 o'clock. It's to launch The Adventures of Dent Strong. It's a partnership between the Dental Association and an organization that promotes oral health care. So that's April the 28th at the Crystal Ridge branch at 2 p.m. May the 7th, the Bell Tower in Fort Erie is hosting, in partnership with the Breast Cancer Society of Canada, the first ever Mother's Day Walk for Breast Cancer in Fort Erie. The walk is scheduled for Saturday, May the 7th, between 9:30 a.m. and 1 p.m., Registration will be taking place at the Bell Tower Community Arts and Entertainment Center on Central Avenue. It's a 5-kilometer walk. It's going to go through historic Bridgeburg, and participants can register either online, and you can go to the Bell Tower for that, or can contact the Bell Tower for further information. This is a good opportunity for individuals who are interested in this cause to participate and, as it says, be involved in the first ever Fort Erie Walk for Breast Cancer. And then finally, Councillor Butler, if you wish to make comment about the forthcoming fire and ice.
Thank you, Your Worship. Just wanted to say last year when I was thinking about putting together the first event, Councillors Pizzero and Zanko stepped up to the plate and I didn't even have to ask them. So they were co-chairs last year. They continue to be co-chairs this year. And I don't think that the party on the patio would be as successful if it wasn't for the three of us working so closely together and diligently to get over 500 people to attend this thing to fundraise for the event towards the Center for the Arts. But I'd like to ask if Councillor Pizzero wouldn't mind being the voice tonight and talking about the event.
My pleasure, Councillor Butler. May 20th, seconds in our Party on the Patio series. Who knows how many more to come, but this one is Fire and Ice. Great lineup of bands. For those who weren't able to be there last year, we absolutely transformed the arena space inside the Leisureplex. And we have West Wind, The Associates, and Almost Hip, our three main bands. We have a lot of cool things occurring during the reception aspect of things as well. A great fire show coming to us from quite a distance away. Tickets are $75. or a table for $750 of 10. And you can get tickets through eventbrite.com. Just search Party on the Patio or contact myself, Counselor Zanko or Counselor Butler. But if you weren't there last year, talk to somebody who was and they'll probably sell the ticket for you. It was an absolutely amazing time. Great use of the space. Fun was had by all. Cash bar. Grand prize that night is an all-inclusive trip to the Caribbean, $4,500 value, some door prizes as well. So great cause, great community contribution. We're thrilled with the amount of sponsorships, support, and enthusiasm that we have seen equal to what we experienced last year, which isn't always the case when you do an event the second time. So we thank everybody for coming forward and looking forward to it. It's less than a month away, which is probably why I have a bead of sweat dripping from my forehead. But we'll get there. It'll be a good time. And there's still some tickets left, so contact one of us or go through the website, eventbrite.com. Thank you, Councillor Butler. Thank you, Your Worship.
Thank you, Councillor Passero and Councillor Butler. And it's good that we've got both the current fire chief and the formerly acting fire chief. If there's going to be fire inside the Leisureplex. Now, you're now on notice.
Acting Chief German is very willing to sign off on anything we need over the next 3 weeks. So.
Sure. Easy for him to do. Okay. Are there any disclosures of pecuniary interest this evening? If none, then I would say that there is a... this is a public notice of an upcoming meeting. There's a public meeting for a zoning bylaw amendment at 3823 Terrace Lane on Monday, May the 1st, 2017 at 6 p.m. in the Town Hall Council Chambers. The information report with respect to that zoning bylaw amendment will be available on our website on Wednesday, April the 26th, 2017. As I mentioned, the regional councillor is not in attendance this evening, which takes us to presentations and delegations. And the first delegation is Vern Benner on behalf of Heritage Arts Legacy. Good evening, Mr. Benner. I'm sure you'll find your way back up.
Thanks, Mayor Redekop and councillors. The notice is kind of a motley crew in the back wall there, and they're all parts of our Heritage Arts Sports Legacy group that we have. As you know, that everybody knows Ruby Smith, I think, who has been involved with Heritage Arts. Years she's been digging up and supplying and looking at the arts and the history of this town. And a couple of years ago, she decided that because of the history in Fort Erie of sports has always been a huge part of Fort Erie. And she decided to get a group of people together, a group of volunteers, and say, let's dig up on the history of what we have in Fort Erie in sports. So we've been doing this over the last couple of years. And with the space that we now have at the Leisureplex over there, it's very impressive. And what we are here tonight to is to invite you and the counselors, friends, family, anybody that you know that's interested in sports at all to come over. We have an open house on May the 5th, which is a Friday. It runs from 5 till 9. We have, the last couple of years, with the number of sports people that are on the Wall of Fame, we've got all kinds of memorabilia, write-ups, hockey jerseys. For the town, for the size of the town of Fort Erie, it's amazing the number of athletes that have come out of this town that grew up, played minor sports here, but went on to professional sports, collegiate sports types of things. And the Wall of Fame is fantastic what we have. And we've collected memorabilia and from these people, along with, now we're getting volunteers that are coming in all the time with high school football pictures, all this type of thing. And we've been very fortunate. And what I'd like to do is showcase this now to the town. So this is really what the open house is for. One of the things we've come into contact with lately, and very fortunate, we've have now access to every issue of the Times Review going from 1943 right up to the present. So we have people that are going through these the old papers, scanning. We have it now on our Facebook, which is the Fort Erie Heritage Sports scrapbook. You pull that up anytime. You may see your picture on there in some old hockey team that you played on or some sport that you were involved in. And we also have a, we have now put a monitor up on the wall at the, at our arena over there. And what we're doing is scanning and we're putting on DVDs and from all these old sports pictures of teams, individuals, figure skaters as kids coming up. We have these now on our monitor running constantly. And the local people who sit there, it's amazing because they see their grandkids on there, they see their friends on there. It's really a good thing. So it's coming along. So we want to showcase this, and that's the reason we're inviting, making the invitation for May 5th.
Thank you very much, Mr. Benner. I've got it on my agenda and calendar, so hopefully a number of counselors will be able to make it out, as will many of the members of the community at large. It is a fantastic facility. It's probably the best used space in the town in terms of what you've got in such a confined area.
Our new people that we have, our volunteers that come on board, you may be familiar with Michael Clarkson. Michael just did a book signing at the library a few weeks back, and Michael has 13 books out. Now, when I was in my 60s and 70s playing local sports around, he was a writer for the Times or for the Niagara Falls paper for sports. And now he's come on board with us. So we have some legitimate people on there and doing a fantastic job for us.
I see you brought him out this evening. And
yes.
I don't think he's the only legitimate person in your group. I think most of you are all.
Well, they are. There's no doubt.
Okay, thank you very much. I don't know if any counselors had any questions or wanted to make any comment. Good. Thank you very much. We look forward to seeing you then a week from Friday.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, Vern. That takes us then to Robert Makut, on behalf of Community Living Fort Erie. Good evening. Wonderful. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Your Worship, Mayor Redekop, and members of Council, on behalf of Community Living Fort Erie and the people who receive service, we would like to thank you for giving us the opportunity to speak about our organization this evening. Community Living Fort Erie exists to promote inclusion and to ensure people with intellectual challenges have their rights and privileges upheld. Our vision is an inclusive community that only sees abilities. My name is Bob Mikett, and I am the Board of Directors President for this wonderful organization. Community Living Fort Erie will be celebrating 60 years of service to our community this year. In 1957, our founders gathered at Town Hall to establish an organization that would advocate for people with intellectual challenges. We have come a long way since our early beginnings. Currently, we provide support to over 200 adults and children in the Fort Erie community. We want to ensure that people with intellectual challenges are included in their community. We strive to assist our clients to follow their dreams, recognize their potential, and accomplish their personal goals as productive and respected members of this community. Thank you for your support that you have provided. We look forward to working with the citizens of Fort Erie to ensure that all people are included. I would like now to introduce to you self-advocate R.J. Golding, who would like to share with you the difference Community Living Fort Erie has made in his life. Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening.
Good evening. Mayor Redekop, members of Town Council, my name is R.J. Golding. I have been supported by Community Living Fort Erie for the past 15 years. I wanted to share with you some of the ways that Community Living Fort Erie has made a difference in my life. Community Living Fort Erie has stuck with me through the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. They believed in me when they helped me, and they believed in me and they helped me to believe in myself. They listened to me when my family did not. I sometimes saw things in a different perspective than in my family members. Community Living staff have helped me talk through my frustrations and become a better self-advocate for myself. Very important family relationships have been maintained due to their involvement. I have had the opportunity to try different jobs with their assistance. And through their support, I have come to realize what I like and what I do not like. I know that I want more than just a job. I want a career. And they are helping me to get the skills I need to have that career. Community living helped me to prepare for my driving test and helped me build confidence I needed to get my license. In fact, my driving instructor that had been teaching for 18 years told me that I was the best student that he had ever had. At one time, I did not even think I could get a license. Through the support and guidance of community living, I have able to find housing that is safe and affordable. I am a valued tenant who is respected by my neighbors and landlord. Community living Fort Erie promotes inclusion and ensures that people with intellectual challenges have their rights and privileges upheld. They believe that all people should have the right to be included in their community regardless of their disabilities. Mayor Redicup and Town Council members, do you not believe that also? Should everybody should be considered an equal and be accepted for their different abilities? Community living staff have never put any limits on my abilities. Nothing is an impossibility. They encouraged me to follow my dreams and accomplish my goals. If I'm willing to do the work, they're willing to do the work right beside me. I am very thankful for the services of Community Living Fort Erie have provided to me. Due to their support, I have grown in many areas of personal development. I have improved on my self-awareness, developed skills and increased potential, and realized dreams and improved the quality of my life. I would like to wish Community Living Fort Erie a happy 60th anniversary and thank them for the support they have provided to me and many other citizens of Fort Erie community. Thank you, Mayor Redicop, and members of Town Council for giving me the opportunity to speak to you today.
Thank you very much, Mr. Golding, and that's a fine testimonial for a wonderful organization. And you're to be commended for your tenacity and the words that you've said on behalf of community living. Before you go, are there any members of council who wish to ask any questions? Councillor Butler.
I don't have any questions, but I would like to make a comment. Mr. Golding, I agree with His Worship that your speech was very inspiring, and I wanted to let you know that my sister had different abilities as well, and you're a testament to what can be accomplished. So thank you very much for coming forward and making that speech tonight.
Thank you.
And happy 60th.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And congratulations to Community Living for 60 years. I presume at some point during the year you'll be celebrating that. June 22nd. Thank you. That takes us to our last delegation, Mr. Russ Wilson, to give us an update on health services in Fort Erie. Good evening, Mr. Wilson.
Good evening, Your Worship. How are you tonight?
Great. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Bring this up and hopefully do it correctly. Your Worship, members of council, staff, I've been asked by Mr. Cook at the CAO to come before the council this evening in order to give you a brief update on health services in the community. I'm going to be covering those areas you see on the overhead there. Current status of primary care, I know that's always something that people are looking for to determine the number of doctors in the community. Physician recruitment, the status of the Douglas Memorial Hospital now and in the future. The urgent care center situation, Bridges Community Health Center, and finally the Healthy Kids Community Challenge. So under the current status of primary care, as you can see from the slide, we currently have 16 practicing physicians in the town of Fort Erie. 13 are in family practice. 2 work at the community health center, and we have 1 physician who has a walk-in practice. So this year, or actually over the last 2 years, we've had two physicians retire, very large practices, and it was difficult absorbing all of the orphan patients as a result. But given the fact that the council of the day and previous councils had the foresight to plan for such things, the infrastructure that we had built over at the family group practice allowed us to absorb two new physicians. And as a result of absorbing those two new physicians, we were able to take the bulk of the patients that were left behind by the two retiring physicians. So that was a bonus, and it's a testament to the forward thinking of the council. We have four current physicians over the age of 60. Why is that important? It's important because obviously they're going to be looking to retire over the next, you know, probably 3 to 6 years. Those four physicians have been in Fort Erie for a significant amount of time, and as a result of that, have large practices. So it will be a challenge to try and replace those physicians, and then while we're replacing them, still provide a high level of service to the patients that they were taking care of prior to their retirement. I know I've shown this to you before, but the provincial ratio is one physician for every 1,400 residents of a community. So you do the math. To meet the provincial average in Fort Erie, we would require 21 physicians. Now, I don't believe there's a municipality in the province of Ontario, unless they're very, very small, that will meet that ratio, because most physicians' rostered patient complement is much greater than 1,400. But it just gives you a thumbnail of where we are compared to what the province would like us to be at. So in my opinion, given the physicians that we currently have, if we were to acquire 2 to 3 more, we would be in excellent shape in Fort Erie. So Fort Erie currently has 15, and the reason that says 15 is because the provincial average does not take into account walk-in service providers. These are providers who will roster patients and actually become a family physician. So they're carrying your file throughout, you know, from, you know, grave or cradle to grave, if you will. So as it says there, we're 6 short of the provincial average. Physician recruitment. So how do we go about addressing the shortfalls? Just to give you a little bit more background, and I think the thing for counselors to keep in mind here is, because again of the foresight of this council and previous councils, the program that we developed for physician recruitment has been extremely successful. So you can see of the 16 current physicians in this town, we have recruited 10 of them over the last 10 years based on the program we developed. We've recruited 4 in the last 2 years. We just had Dr. Sarinchuk, the council passed the resolution to pay for the travel. He's working at the Community Health Center. So what are we going to do moving forward in order to garner more physicians into our community and make our community attractive to new physicians coming in? One of the things we were having a problem with before was, and I'm sure I've said this to you once or twice, it's been in written correspondence to you as well, and I'm sure you've heard it through the grapevine, is the province came up with a determination called underserviced designation. And what that meant was, if you were designated underserviced by the province, certain privileges would kick in, certain new allowances that weren't available to a community that wasn't underserviced became available. One of the biggest things in that underserviced designation is the ability for physicians to come into your community and work under another funding model called a FHO, a family health organization. So we have two funding models in our community right now. We have fee-for-service, which most of our doctors are under, and we have an existing FHO right now that 4 of our doctors are members of. Why is that important? It's important because in most of the medical institutions that are instructing and teaching our future doctors, they're pushing the FHO model. So if you are trying to attract new physicians, graduates, or graduates that have been out in the workplace for a couple of years, if you can't avail them of the two funding options, in particularly the FHO, you're behind the eight ball. When Dr. Leung, for example, retired, You know, if I put this to any person that was out looking for a job, they think it was great. Practice was available. It was fully staffed. It had significant number of rostered patients. We were prepared to subsidize the rent. All the medical equipment was there. The electronic medical record system was in there, all built, ready to go. All you had to do was come in and sign on the dotted line. I put four physicians through that building. Of those four, three were extremely interested and wanted to move forward. And the last question they asked me was, what is the funding model here? And I couldn't tell them that I could offer them a phone, because at that point in time, we weren't designated an underserviced community. Since then, we've been able to work with Berlin, work with the NHS, and we have since got our underserviced designation. So that's going to go a long way to help us in our future recruitment of doctors. It's not an automatic that you'll get the FOE, but considering the fact that we have a FOE in existence in our community already, there's a good chance that we can use that and we'll be able to facilitate that for our incoming physicians. One of the other things that we're working on right now and seems to be one of the newer approaches to physician recruitment is the medical student placement program. So, you know, it's like a co-op. Students are going through the medical school. They need to get out into the field. So we're working on that program right now. What it consists of is basically you have to get physicians in your community that are ready to take on these medical students. We do have two or three that currently have students. So, you know, the more exposure they get to our small community, the more comfortable they get with our small community, the better the chance is they'll give us consideration down the road. The second thing that we need to concentrate on, and we are working in conjunction with McMaster University on this, Dr. Stobie, I'm sure some of you have heard of him, is a resident program. So that's when we've been through medical school, we're now into our resident stage, and we come down and we can actually work on our own under the supervision of a physician. So again, it requires a number of things. We need to be able to provide them with space. We need to be able to provide them with physicians that are sanctioned by the university as medical instructors. So there's one component of it, is the ability to identify those physicians and have those physicians agree to become that instructor and get that sanction. So we're working on that currently. We do have some space available, but we're still in the throes of trying to solidify that space. Now, it's not only space for them to operate out of physically, but a lot of those residents that are coming from, say, Hamilton, Toronto, when they come down for the week to be the resident for whatever hours, and they're working extremely odd hours, especially if they're working in the urgent care center as part of their residency, they need a place to stay, because we can't expect them to come down here from Mississauga, for example, and go back every night. So we are working on solidifying a space for them to stay and be resident in Fort Erie while they're here doing their resident program. It's, I would say, a little past the infancy stages. I'm very confident that the space to put them in, we can secure quickly. I've also got a couple lines on housing for them as well. And that'll take a little more program work. And I'll be coming back to the council through Mr. Cookett in the event that I would require additional revenues, because what we'd like to be able to do is structure a contract with that individual landlord that says, you know, we're going to pay you X for this year, and then whenever our residents are available, they'll use the facility. That hasn't been fleshed out yet, but I just want to give you a little bit of the background as to where we're going there. The last item there is the nurse practitioner-led clinic. Over the last probably 2 years, I've got four nurse practitioners that have contacted me who want to provide service in the town of Fort Erie. The only drawback to being a nurse practitioner from a provincial perspective is that you can't bill OHIP. So because you can't bill OHIP, you have to find another way to remunerate these nurse practitioners. We have one right now that's being remunerated by the VON. Every year I come forward in the budget, or I did come forward in the budget while I was still here, with $40,000, and that was for the administrative cost and support for that nurse practitioner, while the VON picked up all the other costs. And the reason we did that is because if the nurse practitioner has to go out, get their own patients, chart their own stuff, call the specialist for referrals and all those things, the amount of people that the nurse practitioner could see would obviously be cut in half. So it's a very well spent $40,000. Right now we're in the process of getting from the province the process to actually establish a nurse practitioner-led clinic. I'm hoping to come back to the council and have the council pass a resolution to support a nurse practitioner-led clinic within the town of Fort Erie. Like I said, I've got four nurse practitioners that have expressed an interest. One was referred to me just recently by His Worship. So hopefully, within the next little while, we'll be able to get from the province the process to pull that forward, and then come back to the council for support through a resolution, and then it'll be a matter of doing the steps after that in order to get there. Douglas Memorial Hospital, always a topic of conversation out in the community. Again, just to reiterate, and I know all of you have heard this before, but it's good for the public to hear this, the hospital will remain open until the new hospital is built. That's important for everyone to understand. We have that commitment from the NHS that the new hospital will remain open. It will remain open and continue to provide the services that currently provides, those being currently we have an urgent care center over there. We also have multiple clinics for pre- and post-op surgical processes. We've got a cardiac rehab clinic that goes on in conjunction with the YMCA, the NHS, and Bridges. We're also now working on a memory clinic that we're going to house in Douglas Memorial Hospital, and that's being piloted currently by Dr. Stobie, and he's asked us to participate. So we anticipate we should be somewhere with that around June of this year, but certainly we'll inform council when we're looking to start that up. And lastly, the Douglas Memorial Hospital houses the Palliative Care Center of Excellence. Dr. Scher, I'm sure you're all familiar with that name. He is well recognized within the NHS and our surrounding municipalities for the work that he does. So that Palliative Care Center of Excellence will stay as well. One of the things that we need to think about as we move forward to the new hospital build is ensuring that a service like that remains in our community. The Urgent Care Center continues to operate on a 724 basis. Again, it is not a full-service emergency hospital. If you're going there with a heart attack, a stroke, severe trauma, they are going to stabilize you and send you to one of the outlying hospitals, Niagara Falls Welland or St. Catharines. But it's important for the residents to note that anything other than those types of things, your broken legs, your stitches, pneumonia, earache, you know, your daughter just got stung, she's swelling up, you know, you don't have your EpiPen, those types of things, all still are serviced by our urgent care center, which is receiving very high numbers of individuals because we're getting people not only coming from our own community, but we're getting people coming from Port Colborne and Niagara Falls as well. And that's as a result of the NHS posting wait times. So if you go to the emergency room in Niagara Falls, for example, you're there with your daughter, she's got a bad nosebleed, and you look up there and it could be, you know, 2.5-3 hours. Not to mention the fact that on triage, they're going to get bumped. So if something more critical comes in, and that's where the critical cases go, you're going to move down. So we're seeing those patients come to our urgent care center. So it is providing a significant service when it comes to treating those low triage types of occurrences. We're working with the NHS and the LIN right now to establish service levels when the new hospital is constructed. Now, what that means is that when the new hospital is constructed, we're still going to have, and I'm going to use the term urgent care center, but please don't get hung up on that because it's not going to be called an urgent care center. It's going to be called something different, and that's as a result of the patient's first legislation and principles that are being established by the province. But we know that there's going to be an urgent care center of some way, shape, or form in Fort Erie to service our residents once the new hospital opens. So what we need to think about then is what do we want in that urgent care center? what are the things that our community is looking to have and avail themselves of when the new hospital is built, but they still need to have services provided in Fort Erie. So we're working with the NHS and the LHIN, and the reason that we're doing that is because those are the two individual agencies that are going to design the community service plan for Fort Erie, for Port Colborne, and so on, for Welland. So we're working very closely with them, and I must say that our working relationship with both the NHS and the LHIN has been very, very good over the last couple of years. So we've recognized that we need to work with them. They've recognized that they need to work with us, because education and getting the word out is better done by you, municipal councilors, and people in the community like myself, who people respect and know we've been here for a long time. So those two bodies have been quite cooperative with us, and as we move forward, I can't see the cooperation waning. In fact, I think I see it getting better. Bridges Community Health Center. We currently operate Bridges Community Health Center out of the Clarion Inn. I am still the president of the board of directors of Bridges. One of the things that we're and have been considering for the last little while is we will be constructing a new 11,000 square foot facility. I'm not at liberty to disclose to you in public session where that is, but if you reference back to the memo I sent you, the confidential memo, the location is identified in there. We're working with a number of other groups to help support that, and what we're looking to do hopefully at some point in time is create a medical hub of services, so a one-stop shop, if you will. We're getting a lot of cooperation on that from the NHS and the LHIN as well, along with the regions and some other outside services. So, not to repeat myself, but we are working well with the NHS and so on. The other thing that's important to note is, just like our family physician complement in Fort Erie, the Bridges Community Health Center in Fort Erie is at capacity. We have no more space, and we're struggling to take on new clients. We don't like to turn anyone away, nor do the physicians in the community, but in order to maintain a level of service, sometimes those decisions have to be made. But we're trying very, very, very hard to not turn anyone away, and we've been significantly successful in moving in that direction. The Healthy Kids Community Challenge, I put this up because I'm the chair of the regional committee for Healthy Kids Community Challenge. Our committee is made up of prominent individuals from across the region. Janet, who is going to be here from the YMCA, for example, is one of the committee members. So it's a region-wide venture, and it's in conjunction with 44 other communities across the province. The goal is to promote the health of children 12 years and under to reduce obesity rates. So that's the focus. It's a Ministry of Health and Long-Term Care plan. They funded it. Significant amount of revenue has come down that the committee then disseminates over the three themes. So as we move forward in that, there's been three themes over the 3 years beginning in 2015. The total municipal contribution has been $6,000. So every year, each municipality across the region makes a small contribution to the Healthy Kids Community Challenge administration so that we can keep it running. And the total return from the town of Fort Erie has been $45,000 over 3 years. Just as an example, in the first year under theme one, which was run, jump, play every day, we partnered with Niagara on the Lake and we purchased a van. His worship will remember that. And basically what that van does is it's a portable playground. So in Fort Erie, it reaches out to our low-income communities twice a week and once a week in Niagara-on-the-Lake. Began in 2015 and is still going strong. We were fortunate enough to have a partnership with the Boys and Girls Club. So they do all the operation. We provided them with that capital asset. They take care of the maintenance, but they're reaching out to our low-income communities so that our children have an opportunity to not have to be transported from A to B. We're bringing the playgrounds to them. The second one was Water Does Wonders, and that was theme two. If you go into the East End Arena, we received three water filling stations, so state-of-the-art water filling stations where it's not only a fountain, but you can go in and fill your water container. So we got those three state-of-the-arts, plus we secured enough money for the installation cost. So that didn't cost the town of Fort Erie anything. The last theme that we've got for this year is to choose to boost fruits and vegetables. The grant that's been given to the town of Fort Erie is in the neighborhood of about $16,500. What we're trying to establish, I had a meeting today as a matter of fact, is we're looking to establish a large community garden centrally located in Fort Erie. I wish I could tell you, but I haven't got confirmation about who our partner is going to be on that, but I think when you find out, you'll be quite excited about that. The other thing we're doing is we're taking some of the money and we are supporting our local food programs. So what we want to do is we want to have the people come in and make sure there's fresh fruits and vegetables when they have their meal. We'll give them a little learning exercise on the value of fruits and vegetables, and then we're going to give them fruits and vegetables to take home with them. So we're hoping that this will all transform into healthier eating by our kids and our families in the community. So with that, I'll certainly answer any questions, and thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Mr. Wilson. That was extremely informative, and I think your point about the community needing to hear some of these things is very important, because many times they don't have an appreciation of what is happening with respect to healthcare in our community, and I'm sure that there are many individuals that are very interested in some of the things you had to say. I have a few questions, but I'll let the councillors ask first, and I'll start with Councillor Zanko.
Thank you, Your Worship. Thank you very much, Russ. That was very informative, and I'm always very impressed with your commitment and level of knowledge regarding our healthcare. I have four questions, if that's okay. The first question is, I'm a little confused over the FOE model with regard to what benefits that offers physicians directly.
A fee for through you, Your Worship, to Councillor Zanko, the fee-for-service model, which I think it's pretty self-explanatory, they see a patient, they get paid X number of dollars. Depending on what happens after that, there might be another basket that they can attract other revenues from. The FOE model is based on a roster. So for every patient you roster, you get X number of dollars per year to provide service to that patient. So we'll just use round numbers. So if it's $10 per patient and you roster 1,000, obviously your stipend is $10,000. The reason that that is somewhat attractive to new physicians, for example, is first of all, you're not scrambling to earn a living. Right? I mean, they all got into it for two reasons. One, to serve the public from a healthcare perspective, but also, you know, they want to earn a living. And the work-life balance under a FOE is significantly better because they can work from home. They can make phone calls to their patients, for example. They can spend more time with their critically complex patients, provide better healthcare. So they like it because of that. They like it because it gives them a lot more flexibility. There's a number of things that they can do as a result, depending on the demographic that you treat, falls you into another basket. So if you want to concentrate on seniors, for example, you can do that. You know how much that's going to come back to you. You want to concentrate on young children. So the flexibility is much, much greater. The work-life balance provided by that type of model is much more attractive to the new physician than the old physician. I shouldn't use the word old physician. Scratch that, old physician. To the physician who has been in practice for a number of years, and you know they're getting to their office at 9, they're leaving their office at 6:30, 7 o'clock. They still got a chart. So there's lots of stuff to do. Whereas the FOE provides a different way to practice. And that different way to practice increases the flexibility of the physician.
Thank you. Through Your Worship, when you had mentioned in your presentation that when the new hospital is built, we still will have our urgent care center, do we know if that will continue to be 24 hours, or is it not known at this time?
Through Your Worship, to Councillor Zanko, if you had asked me this question probably 2 years ago after our last meeting with the NHS and Dr. Smith, my answer to you would have been yes, it will be 724. And again, this is me speculating. This is not me talking as a result of a conversation with the NHS or the LIN, but through my discussions with various individuals, my guess is that what they're going to do is they may start at 724, but if the numbers don't continue to support 724, then they're probably going to scale it back. They've scaled it back in most other municipalities. We're very fortunate that we've got an arrangement where that 724 is continuing here. I certainly hope that it's 724. I'm sure every resident listening to this hopes that as well. I can't guarantee it.
Thank you. And also, what I was wondering is you mentioned that that the LIN does recognize our palliative care center of excellence in Fort Erie, along with other municipalities recognizing that. Is there any speculation or discussion whether we might be able to remain supporting and having that palliative care center?
Through you, Your Worship, to Councillor Zenko. Well, I might be able to speak for His Worship on this, but I can certainly speak for myself. That's all we've been pushing, is that we want the Center of Excellence for Palliative Care to remain in Fort Erie and to be an identified service upon the closure of the Douglas Memorial Hospital. That's easy to say. It's a little more difficult to accomplish. However, continuing to work together with both the NHS and the LIN, providing options for them to consider, you know, being flexible with how we move forward with that. My understanding, my gut feeling is that I think that Fort Erie is in a position to present a very solid case for the continuance of that program. And I know Dr. Scher, all of the nurses that work in the palliative care, the people that have actually, whose family members have gone through it, I'm sure we could get all the support we need, and the success is there. The numbers are, the proof's in the pudding. So we collectively would need to continue to push that.
Excellent. And just out of, I guess, curiosity for myself, because I'm not that familiar with Bridges Community Healthcare, and I know that it's possible that some of my constituents may not be that familiar with the center either. Can you kind of just give us an overview of the type of service that patients could receive from Bridges?
Yes, through you, Your Worship, to Councillor Zenko. Bridges, without going into the details, and trying to give you a really high overview, it's a one-stop shop, if you will. So, you know, you can get primary care, diabetic care, social care, like if you need social work intervention, for example, for a mental health problem. Dietitian is there. We just had a psychiatrist there. We provide diabetic foot care. So it's a one-stop shop, and the province has set it up so that it's all funded by the province. So even our physicians are not on a fee-for-service. They get paid a salary by the province, along with all the other individuals that work there. The province, in setting up the community health centers across the province, also established the demographic that can be served by the community health center. So in Fort Erie, it's a couple of them are refugees, newcomers, teens, senior citizens, for example. An individual like myself doesn't fall into the criteria for being a community health center client, because they have identified areas where client service is sometimes not as well-funded and not as well-received, if you will, as others. So that's why the community health center is set up.
And I know I said I only had four questions, but I do have one more. This is the last one. Is there anything that council can do to support all of these initiatives, other than obviously, of course, we support what you're bringing to us, but with regard to, you know, advocating, lobbying, anything like that?
Through you, Worship, to Councillor Zenko, certainly. I mean, the council's voice, I can tell you with 100% certainty, reaches the ears of Suzanne Johnson and the LIN on a regular basis. So, yes, your ability to lobby on behalf of your citizens and your residents and your constituents, absolutely. I think over the next couple months, I'm going to give you lots of opportunities to do exactly that. Like I said in my presentation, we've got a couple of processes in the fire at the moment, but we're not at the point where I'd come to council and say, Council, could you please advance $20,000 so we can secure a contract for housing for our medical residents when they come into Fort Erie? But that is in the offing. I suppose the best way for you to do is just to continue to advocate like you are. You need, and I know that there's some contention there, and there has been in the past. I don't think it's as dramatic as it was, say, 10 years ago. No, you need to be supportive of those agencies that are now becoming supportive of you. And you'll see the results, because when I go to meet with Suzanne Johnson, and fortunately because of the council's approach to the new approach to the NHS, I can get in to see Ms. Johnson, on a phone call. She doesn't put me off. She allows me to come in. We have a very good rapport. We have a good rapport with the Lynn, and that is not me as Russ Wilson having that rapport. It's our community and respectively the council that has that rapport. So yeah, those are the things that you can continue to do when your constituents call you. Just be supportive. What I've told you tonight is, as of right now, the most current update that I could give you. I think things are going to break much quicker over the next 3 or 4 months on a number of fronts, but I think I'll be back to council on the nurse-led practitioner clinic, probably back to council on the residence program quite soon. So, yeah, those are the things I would encourage council to do.
Excellent. Thank you very much again.
Councillor Butler, and then Councillor Nutt, and then Councillor McDermott.
Thank you, Your Worship. Well, Councillor Zanko did ask many of the questions, so that clever girl over there. But I was one of the orphaned patients that Dr. Leung, when he retired, unfortunately found myself without a doctor, and it took me a while to find one. But I wanted to thank you, because through your efforts, I was able to find a wonderful doctor at the family clinic. So thank you very much. Although I do appreciate what you said about the Bridges Community Health Center, because it was difficult to get in there. I did try them first. So I do know that there are a lot of people that enjoy their services. And even from the family clinic, they're recommending their patients go there for some of the services.
Yeah, for diabetes, absolutely.
And I've heard wonderful things about that. So I did want to say that your leadership is to be commended, because although you say that it's because the community is supportive and that's how you're getting into meet with Suzanne Johnson on a regular basis, I think it speaks volumes of your personality and your leadership style that actually gets you to those meetings, and you've done certainly well for the municipality of Fort Erie, so I thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Butler. Councillor Nutt.
Your Worship, through you to Mr. Wilson, in your presentation you said that there are four doctors that are above 60 coming up to retirement. We have to make concessions and plans to replace those. Part of what happened with Councillor Butler, she and I share the same doctor. So one of the questions I have, though, for you was the medical records. Are there any provisions that the province is providing for people that don't have the financial wherewithal to pay the high fees to get their medical records?
Through you, Your Worship, to Councillor Nutt. I've been asked that question on a number of occasions as a result of physicians retiring and trying to get the medical records. The medical records become the property of the physician. And once the physician retires, the physician has to get permission from the college in order to move those records either to another physician, or some physicians will move those records to a records holding company. And that records holding company then becomes responsible for ensuring that those medical records are available, that nothing happens to them. So, and then in order for you, for example, to get your medical record from a holding company, they charge a fee. If you're asking me, does the province have a program to help you get that record and help you pay for it, to the best of my knowledge, no.
Thank you, Your Worship. Just a follow-up on that. I myself, like my family, we all had our records with Dr. Leung. Thankfully, we're all fairly healthy, and I didn't see the need to pay. It was about $150 a person, so we didn't bother getting the records because, frankly, I had one surgery in 1978, and that was it. no broken bones, no nothing. But I just, it led me to think about other people who would be in dire need of those records and not being able to, like a single mom with two or three kids, mm-hmm. not being able to pay because it was $150 per person.
Yes.
And I found that to be quite high. It was exorbitant. And the records were moved to a medical holding facility.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand the whole circumstances of Dr. Leung's retirement and everything that had to be done. But I figured, I thought there would be some provision for people that live at the poverty line or below the poverty line, that there has to be consideration giving to those people to get those records, and that the province has to make some type of, I feel that they should bring forward some type of subsidy or something to help people in those situations, or people that are suffering, that have to pay also the exuberant medical medication costs
yep.
that put them in a position financially where they're not able to get that. So if you wouldn't mind carrying back that feedback to the LIN and the NHS, I don't know if they would be people that would advocate for that, but I know that when I'm in front of the health minister this summer, I'm definitely going to bring that up.
Through you, Your Worship, I just want to make it clear, like I haven't done all of the research that would be required to determine whether that is. I have made some inquiries. I've talked to doctors about it. To the best of my knowledge right now, there is no subsidy. That's not to say potentially could be out there. I'll make a couple of phone calls to my LIN contacts, and because they would have a better in than I would calling the ministry. I can get back to you on it.
Thank you very much, Mr. Wilson, because I'm sure that that's of great interest to many many residents of the town in view of the recent retirements. Councillor McDermott.
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. Thank you, Mr. Wilson, for your presentation tonight. I think a lot of people in this community owe you a great deal of gratitude because I realize from the time that our hospital was being downsized to an urgent care center, we've had to build quite a few relationships over the past number of years, and that took some repairing. So sometimes finding the trust again is a big deal. But I think what has happened is with the restructuring of the land and new leadership there, and Dr. Smith's leadership and opening up the dialogue will only help us with the new leadership of the NHS, because I think they're all pretty much on board with us. I think a lot of people should understand also that a lot of these new things that have been coming about, like the FOE and getting back into underserviced designation, is an important deal. Can't have really anything prevent us from looking for new positions. Four positions of this nature, would that represent about 8,000 people or maybe more?
For you, Your Worship, to Councillor McDermott, yeah, that's a pretty fair testament. I would say it's probably a little lower than that because they're now going through the process of rostering patients. We've got patients that have applications in, but, you know, they're triaged as well. I mean, if it's not immediate. So I would say within the next 6 to 12 months that your 8,000 number is probably pretty close.
Yes, my last question is eventually we're going to come forward with a committee to discuss what we as Fort Erians believe should be the services in our UCC. I believe because of the new type of leadership that we have at the NHS and the LIN, that probably we should have a member of each of those groups on that committee. Would you agree with that notion?
Through you, Your Worship, to Councillor McDermott, I think it's an approach that you certainly need to consider, because what you want to be able to do, in my view at least, is two things. One, you want to be able to voice the concerns of the community and yourselves directly to the individuals that are going to shape the community service plan. And two, those service providers, being in the two that you spoke of, the NHS and the LIN, they're going to be able to give you feedback. They are much more intimate about what's happening than I am. I mean, I meet with them on a fairly regular basis, but not a day-to-day thing. So that type of exchange of information would be extremely valuable in my view.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. I look forward to talking to you next week about the terms of reference for the next committee.
Thank you, Councilor McDermott. Any other councillors? Councilor Passero.
Thank you, Worship. Thank you, Mr. Wilson, for the presentation tonight. Councilor Butler, who's been very great advocate for healthcare throughout Niagara for a number of years now, brought forward a resolution a couple weeks back asking for an expedited timeline for the new hospital. Where do you see the opportunities where we can expedite that timeline, and what can we do as a council to further demand that?
Well, through you, Your Worship, to you, Councillor Passero, I think you need to be able to focus and find out where the holdup is. The holdup is not at the Niagara Health System. That I can tell you. For those of you that are not familiar with the capital plan at the province, there's a number of stages that they have to go through. And in order for you to move from stage one to stage two, stage one's got to be approved. The NHS have got their stages up there already. They're already prepared. They've already been submitted. They're waiting for the province to respond to them on content of those applications. So once those applications have been commented on and they can be approved, they can go to the next step. So definitely in this instance, the NHS is ahead of the game, supported fully by the LHIN, because as I understand it, the LHIN has also approved those stages, which they had to do. So NHS preparation, LHIN acceptance, ministry acceptance. So yeah, I mean, I think your focus is with the province. It's like anything else. The Community Health Center, for example, we're waiting for answers from the province. But, you know, we need to get answers from the province based on rational and common sense approaches, right? Beating them over the head with a stick, you're all familiar with that. They're only going to dig in. So cooperation, which, you know, you're obviously showing in your work with the NHS and the LHIN, that's the approach you got to take. The minister in charge of the Ministry of Health needs to know that we're waiting and that, you know, we're prepared to do what we can do as a council and as a community to move it along. You've already, you know, made your commitment for Jonathan. How much was it? Was it $3 million?
Three.
Okay. So, I mean, you showed your commitment early. So I think those are the types of things that need to be reinforced with your member of provincial parliament. And any time, as Councillor Nutt says, you get access to the minister, I mean, that's where it's at.
Thank you. I appreciate those comments. So we will have to encourage Councillor Butler to shake things up at the province. Thank you, Mr. Wilson.
And any other councillors? Thank you very much, Mr. Wilson, for all of this information. I'm still trying to get my head around the composition of the committee that we're going to be moving forward with. I hear what Councilor McDermott has to say, and I know that that's somewhat in line with your suggestions, and we need to have a bit more dialogue about that, I think.
Yeah.
But certainly the notion of this council putting together a committee that will determine what it is in terms of health services that this community needs going forward is very important. I know that you've been working on draft terms of reference with respect to that, and I look forward to this council being able to move forward on that. I did have a question with respect to physician recruitment. Are there at this point any impediments standing in your way, such as limitations on where doctors can locate or what have you?
Your Worship, really, I don't have a lot of impediments in my way. The biggest one was the underserviced designation, which we now have.
Okay.
So now it's a matter of going out and beating the bushes again. If we had had this a year ago, our situation would be significantly different than it is now.
Right.
We've got a new graduating class coming. As a matter of fact, at Bridgewater, when we held that dinner, one of the individuals that was there was at the UCC working there a couple of weeks ago. Good. So it's those types of things. But from financially, I don't have an impediment. Council has established a reserve fund that I've got money that I can access through the CAO. So that's not an issue. Council was very receptive to the last submission I made on Dr. Sarenchuk. The fact that you turn that around quickly makes it easier for me when I'm talking to that prospective physician And I can say, well, I'm going to go to the council. I'm sure that, you know, the council will approve it, but, and you're acting quickly. So that makes my job easier at the other end. But, financially, we're fine. Under service situation, we're good. It's just a matter of continuing to go out, beat the bushes, and try and develop those other things that I mentioned in those slides.
And then the final question that I had, you mentioned that the bridges is at capacity. Are there any opportunities for additional funding from the province to help expand that roster, or, and if there is there something that we can do as a council to assist?
I think, again, certainly we, bridges would be more than happy to come to the council to ask for your support in a submission. But what we need to do now is we need to get the new facility constructed, which will provide us with significantly more space. For example, we don't have a teaching kitchen in Fort Erie at our community health center. We have a teaching kitchen at our community health center in Port Colborne. Why is that important? Because that community health center in Port Colborne with the teaching kitchen runs clinics at night that bring in 20, 30 additional residents, right? So it's that kind of expansion that's going to help us. And we'll then have the room to be able to make application for additional healthcare services.
That would be additional programming that you could also justify the request.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much. It's been very informative, and we appreciate your attendance this evening. And I echo the compliments that were provided to you by members of council.
Thank you, Your Worship, members of council, my colleagues in the back. Thanks very much.
Okay, that takes us to the consent agenda. Are there any items that anyone wishes removed from the consent agenda? If there are none, Councillor Butler, you have the resolution regarding the consent agenda items.
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor McDermott, that Council approves the consent agenda items as recommended.
Are there any questions or comments? Councillor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Just on one item under Section 3D, the quarter revisions for the St. John's Marsh Municipal Drain.
Yep.
On page 6 of the, I guess these are the minutes of the meeting, when we were at the tribunal, there was some confusions as to how much money was going to be paid, and the members of the tribunal wanted some more information. So if you read the last that, you can see that there were some recommendations made, and maybe Councillor Zanko can correct me if I'm wrong, but it was my understanding that we would have Mr. Maiden and the engineer speak to the people that were that filed the appeal, and then we would meet later. Well, after they spoke with the people that filed the appeal, it's my understanding that they withdrew their appeal. So it looks like we're going to have a third meeting, but it's my understanding that we're not having that third meeting, and that this issue has been resolved. And maybe Mr. Cookett can comment on it, or maybe Councillor Zanko can confirm what I'm thinking, but I just think it should be on the record that this is over and we're not having a third sitting.
Councillor Zanko?
Councillor Lubert is absolutely correct. That was the outcome of our meeting. I'm not sure maybe if the clerk has further comment on that, but it is my understanding, and we also acknowledged through email every member of the Court of Revisions acknowledged that the appeal was withdrawn and that there would be no further meeting.
Madam Clerk, are you aware of that?
I am well aware of that. Whoops. Thank you, Worship. I am well aware of that. That is indeed what happened. It was agreed upon by Councillor Lubberts as well as the other members that there would be no further sitting based on the advice we got from OMAFRA.
Okay. Councillor Lubberts?
Yes, thank you very much. And that's the only reason I brought it up, because the report, although this is exactly what happened at the meeting, what happened after the meeting isn't reflected in the report, and I just wanted to make everybody understand that if they're reading this, a third sitting is not going to occur.
Thank you. Mr. Walsh, I had a question with respect to the request by AECOM for 24-hour operation, what have you. If it turns out that there are noise concerns, are we at liberty to revisit this in the future?
I would assume that every agreement is open to further discussion. Whether the MTO would do anything or not is a different matter, but it's certainly available for discussion if we have concerns.
Well, if they're asking us for something, I presume that we have the ability to monitor that.
Yes, we do.
Thank you. Are there any other questions? If none, all those in favor of the resolution? None opposed, that is carried. That then takes us to new business, and we have a resolution under new business. Councillor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Moved by myself and seconded by Councillor McDermott that Council accepts the resignation of Jason Baumgartner from the Crystal Beach Business Improvement Area Board of Management, and further that Council directs staff to proceed with filling the vacancy in accordance with the provisions of the procedural bylaw.
Are there any questions or comments with respect to that resolution? All those in favor? None opposed, that is carried. Are there any other items of new business or inquiries, Councillor Nutt, and then Councillor Zanko?
Thank you, Your Worship. Through you to Mr. Brady. I received several calls from my constituents in Black Creek along Baker Road concerning the development behind that's going on with Black Creek Estates. The concern is that there's standing water in the ditch, that when they've done the temporary drainage, they've dammed up part of that ditch so it's not draining properly and the water is standing. The concern is once the weather gets warmer that it's going to become a haven for mosquitoes, et cetera. I was just wondering if we might ask one of the people in charge of overseeing that development if they could go out and have a peek. It's, again, along Baker Road into the Black Creek area between River Trail and Black Creek Drive.
Mr. Brady?
Through you, I'll have a staff member go out there tomorrow.
Thank you very much.
Councillor Zanko.
Thank you, Your Worship. Through you to Mr. Walsh, just wanted to commend you and your team for your excellent work last week when we had severe flooding. I know that it was, you know, quite devastating in many areas with the amount of water that we received, but I've had nothing but positive feedback on how quickly your staff were able to resolve some very difficult situations. So on behalf of my constituents, we thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Zanko. That's very thoughtful. And Mr. Walsh, did you want to make any reference to the 49, was it, calls that we had received with respect to some flooding and water issues over Wednesday and Thursday when we had, I think, 9 inches worth of rain?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. When I said it was 9 inches, I misread an email. It was actually 5, but that's still a significant amount of rain. We did have 45 calls to our after-hours emergency line.
That 9 sounds better. Be like 35 feet of snow.
Yeah. Mostly concerned road flooding, but as my email to council stated, our drainage system held up amazingly well considering the intensity of the storm. So I do thank Councillor Zanko for the compliments for the crews, and I will pass those on.
There were some reports of groundwater flooding some basements, and I presume that those are being dealt with by the municipality? Or would you know that?
Right now, we do have reports of basement flooding from the storm over overland flow. We also have reports of basement flooding through the sanitary system. Until we receive an actual claim, We don't do anything. We don't chase them. But when the claims do come in, they will be addressed appropriately.
Thank you. Any further, Councillor Zanko?
Yes, thank you. Just one more thing further. I wanted to also personally welcome the new fire chief.
What was his name again? Any other new business or inquiries? Okay, then that takes us to motions, of which we have none. Are there any notices of motion? Mr. Cookett, we heard that there's discussion about a committee to deal with health issues, health services issues, health and wellness issues. Is there a need for you to receive anything from council to proceed with work in that regard?
To your worship, no. Mr. Wilson has prepared a draft terms of reference. I have that. I don't believe there's anything else required. We will prepare a report that goes with that after some discussion with council members. Bring that forward and get approval on next steps.
Great. So if there are no notices of motion, that takes us then to consideration of bylaws. And Councillor Passero, you have the resolution for first and second reading. Councillor Nutt, did you want a bylaw removed from the package?
Actually, I'd like two. The first bylaw being 16-2014 and bylaw 115-2016, if we could just deal with those separately.
Certainly may.
Thank you.
Councillor Passero, if you would proceed with the reading of the package with those two bylaws removed for the time. Actually,
which numbers, Your Worship?
2014 and 16. 14 is only here for third and final reading, so the only one.
Yes, I don't have either of those on first or second.
Yeah, you don't. They're both for third and final reading, so that will be when we get to Councillor Zanko. So please proceed, Councillor Passero.
Okay. Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, that the bylaw package containing the following, 40-2017, to adopt an emergency management program and emergency plan governing the provision of necessary services during an emergency, and to repeal bylaw numbers 160-02, 139-03, 126-04, and 220-04. 41-2017, to authorize the entry into an agreement to extend the concession agreement with Lamb Style Limited for the operation of the Crystal Beach Food Concession Services. 42-2017, to adopt a volunteer program policy for the Town of Fort Erie and to repeal bylaw numbers 6-2012 and 152-2001. 43-2017, to amend bylaw number 70-2014 to designate a downtown Bridgeburg core area community improvement project area. 44-2017, to appoint Charles Edward Melanson as fire chief for the town of Fort Erie and to repeal bylaw number 1-2017. And 45-2017, to appoint Matthew Hasty as building inspector for the town of Fort Erie and to repeal bylaw number 24-2015, is given first and second reading.
All those in favor? The bylaw package is on the floor for any questions or comments. Councillor Lubbers.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. I thought earlier this evening you said that we were going to add something to one of the bylaws.
So the bylaw 45 does have an additional provision which had been deleted, and that was read as part of the addendum. And the wording is that Mr. Hasty will not only be appointed as a building inspector, but he'll also be appointed as a municipal law enforcement officer and provincial offenses officer while employed by the town of Fort Erie.
So does that get added to this package?
It's going to be part of the bylaw. So what Councillor Passero has simply read is what the bylaw is that we're authorizing, and that paragraph will be part of the bylaw that we
will
have.
Okay, all right.
Any other questions? There are none, then I'll move to Councillor Zanko for third and final reading, but bylaws 16 for 2014 and 115 for 2016 should be read separately.
Yes. Excellent. Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Nutt, that bylaw 40-2017, 41-2017, 42-2017, 43-2017, 44-2017, 45-2017, are given third and final reading to be signed by the mayor and the clerk under the corporate seal.
Are there any questions or comments with respect to those bylaws? All those in favor? None opposed. That is carried. And Councillor Zanko, could you then proceed with bylaw? Councillor Nutt, would you like these dealt with separately?
Individually?
Up to you. Either way is fine.
We can do it together.
Okay. So could you read those two together, please?
Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Nutt, that bylaw 16-2014, 115-2016 are given third and final reading to be signed by the mayor and the clerk under the corporate seal.
Thank you. Would anyone like to speak to that? Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. The reason why I ask that these be broken out separately is that I've heard from several residents I can't support these bylaws, and I'm going to be voting against them because it transfers a direct cost to the recipients under the Drainage Act. I understand the works are necessary to improve the drainage in Fort Erie, but my constituents elected me to represent them, so I'll be voting against these. Thank you.
If I might, is your issue more with, or your constituents' issue more with the process than the actual bylaw and the way it works out?
No, there are issues with having to pay thousands of dollars for drainage works.
Okay.
And that they feel it should be part of the general levy and that we should account for it in our capital works programs.
Okay, does anyone else wish to speak to that? Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. I actually agree with Councillor Nutt on this. I've had issues in the past with drainage and my constituents facing great amounts as well, so I'll be supporting you.
Anyone else? Councillor Zanko.
I just wanted to note that although I don't disagree and I have been part of the drainage meetings that we've had in the committee, my concern by not supporting this is that all of our tax base would have to absorb these additional costs. So I'm not comfortable with that perspective either. So I will be supporting this.
Anyone else? Then I'll call the question. All those in favor of third and final reading? Opposed? That is carried. That then takes us to the next resolution regarding the confirmatory bylaw, and that's Councillor McDermott. You have that resolution.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Butler, that bylaw number 46-2017. To confirm the actions of Council at its meeting held on April 24, 2017, is given first and second reading.
Those in favor? Unopposed, that is carried. Councillor Butler, you have the third and final reading for that confirmatory bylaw?
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor McDermott, that bylaw number 46-2017 is given third and final reading to be signed by the Mayor and Clerk under the corporate seal.
Are there any questions or comments? All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. That takes us to scheduling of meetings. Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Your Worship. We have an Accessibility Advisory Committee meeting tomorrow here at Town Hall, 4:30 p.m. in committee room number one.
Anyone else? Transit Steering Committee, that's Transit Advisory Committee meeting on Thursday, April the 27th at 1:30 p.m. I presume it'll be in committee room one. If there are no other meetings to announce, then I'm going to guess that the final resolution goes to Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, that Council adjourns at 7:31 p.m. to reconvene in a regular meeting of Council on May 8, 2017.
All those in favor? That is carried. Thank you very much. Ladies.